Good morning. You're watching the program with Ted Rall and Jamal Thomas. It is Thursday, June 25th, 2026. Thank you so much for joining us. Good morning, JT.
What's going on, man? Doing okay today?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm conscious. I'm awake. I'm moving.
It beats the alternative.
Yes. Well, maybe it depends. But yeah.
All right. So here's what we got going on today. Please, by the way, please like, follow, and share. Please support the show by sharing. And as Robbie explained yesterday, even by chatting, albeit briefly, just come in and say hi and then leave. That'll help us maintain our income flow from Rumble. They changed the rules over there. We can talk about that a little later. Later today, TMI at 10 a.m., DMZ America with Scott Stantis and I, because it is Thursday. Big scandal in the cartooning world.
Is that it? We'll
be talking about. Yeah, the curator of the San Francisco Cartoon Art Museum was, well, there's no way to say it politely because it's not a polite thing. He was arrested for inviting a bunch of people to his house in Berkeley and placing his cell phone in such a place that it would create upskirt images.
Oh, are you serious?
Well, I don't know if it's serious, but it's not dignified. He admitted it. He apologized to the people who came to his birthday party.
I'm sorry for looking up your skirt.
Sorry for putting a phone. Like, so one of his guests, it's a woman, went to the bathroom and found his phone, like, I don't know, taped somewhere. I don't even know logistically how you would do this, how you'd be able to put your phone in such a place that it would capture these images. It all goes to show that you have to go to upskirt college in order to,
So if somebody wanted a cartoon of a phone in the bathroom.
It's like, hey, come over to my house for my birthday. You don't need to bring a gift because if you go to the bathroom, that'll be my gift.
Oh, that is gross.
It's,
I don't know if I want to get all those images, man. Who knows what's going
to be? It's true. Who knows what you're going to find, right? But it's weird because, like, I spent some time researching this because, look, I'm all for kinks. I mean, God, you know, you paraphilia yourself. I mean, you know, no one's normal. God bless. But as long as consent is involved, obviously, and that was clearly not the case here. But I was, like, wondering how common this is, right? Like, because you hear about, like, people in Japan constantly getting, like, arrested for, like, upskirting, like, in the mall, under the stairs and stuff. And I'm like, is this a common thing? And apparently it is very common. Like,
there's so much porn.
A lot of people are interested in voyeuristic porn, you know?
Yeah, I get... You know what it is? I think it's the return of the natural. That's what I think it is. And I know that sounds strange because he is doing this to people who are unwittingly unsuspected, etc. But I think that's the point. That it's not some 20-year-old sex pot that is, you know, that is being paid. See, I don't like porn because my issue with it has more to do with the fact that they're paid to do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes, no, I want people to make money. And yes, I want them to, but I feel like it's a compulsion. I feel like it's like somebody working at McDonald's. They're not telling me hi because they want to tell me hi. They're not wearing a shirt that says, I love it when
it's
you
like
come
the
to
McDonald's. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Yeah. It feels like a person is being bent into shape. And would the person do it if there was economic security for them outside of doing this? Like, meaning, if they could just live a life where they had their ends met, would they do this? Now, some people would. And for those people, God bless them. That's so true.
I mean, it's funny, right? So, I mean, look, when I was younger, I had more of an interest in porn. I don't consume porn anymore, but I used to. And, my go-to was amateur porn, right? Like people sending, you know, like people sending pictures of their wives. I liked the real. I liked the natural. You know, I didn't care for the airbrushed, you know, perfect, like no blemish free. You can't see a mole kind of thing. Yeah.
That's a changeover though, right? I mean, like the days of Ron Jeremy, for example. I don't know if people even know who Ron Jeremy is.
By the way, I'm so weird you brought up Ron Jeremy because I was literally thinking about him yesterday. But please finish your point.
He's overweight, bald, or balding.
Ugly.
He's not the, Jason Momoa. Yeah. And yet, huge celebrity, porn celebrity in that case. In the
Ron Jeremy, I think at one point had acted in more adult movies than any other dude.
He
was the guy that directors always wanted, right? They're like, and when asked why, they would say, well, he can always get it up, which is not always true for guys.
That's amazing. I guess the point is, it seems like, do you think there's a revitalization of the real? That people are tired of, okay, this guy has an 8-pack. He's, muscular. He's, meaning people realize that that's not real. I don't know.
The question is not real attractive to people? And I think, there's the MAGA aesthetic, right? Like the Laura Loomer aesthetic, and that's not real. Or, the Kardashians, it's not real, but some people find it, I don't know if they find it sexually arousing or if they find it interesting. And I don't think it's certainly interesting.
Anyone who thinks Laura Loomer's attractive needs to go to a psychiatric hospital post haste and get reevaluated because that's a problem.
Well, the other interesting part to this is AI. Mm. To me, AI porn is the dumbest thing in the world, but that's just to me. But it's to me because I need to know what's in somebody's head that is attractive. Yeah,
I interviewed a dude who had a franchise called Lovers Caught on Tape. And what he did is he bought surveillance tapes from corporations and businesses where employees had been caught having sex on camera in the office, on the desk or in the cooler at McDonald's or whatever, often in emergency stairwells. And he would he would buy these tapes. More often than not, the employee had been fired, right? As a result, or both employees had been fired. Here's the interesting thing. The interesting thing is his sales took off when he realized that he had to blur out the face because he didn't have their permission. But when he reached out and went to the trouble of contacting the former employees and getting some of them to agree to it, like, hey, I'll give you some money. And, his sales skyrocketed. People wanted to see the face that went with the body. They want that personal connection.
Yes. No, agreed. I guess that's why the AI thing confuses me. Like, is it because AI, there's nothing, there's no there to it. There's no soul to it. I don't know about you. For me, I need to know what's in somebody's head. I need to, at the very least, have the belief that something is going on in their heads that is in order for me to, let's say, be into whatever is happening in that moment. I don't see how the AI thing factors into that, but apparently some people do, obviously. And people are wired differently. So,
by the way, all right, before we move on from this, we don't have to. We can do it. It's our show.
No, we need to move on from this.
Whatever the fuck we want. We're the dictators of this show. We're the Zelenskys of this show. But I guess the question, so I wanted to ask you about Ron Jeremy. So I was thinking about the hype. There was a big piece about the masculinity on Terry Gross yesterday and within the right and the sort of, the Andrew Tate, the whole, and Donald Trump and how it's a little odd that this guy is considered so masculine. He's a trope of masculinity on the far right. Donald Trump is he's chubby. He's got weird hair. He dyes his hair. He has moobs. He's way overweight. He's doughy. He couldn't hold his own in a fist fight. Right. He just doesn't have that masculine ideal of say Clint Eastwood in the 70s. Right. Why, right? And then it occurred to me while I was doing yard work, he's the Ron Jeremy figure. Ron Jeremy was, people didn't like porn consumers didn't look at Ron, they didn't look past Ron Jeremy at the lady. The fact that such an incredibly, remarkably ugly looking dude was doing it with a comparatively far more attractive, conventionally attractive woman was appealing to guys because they're thinking, if Ron Jeremy can get that, maybe I can get that.
Right. If he can do it, anybody can do it.
It's like
aspiration.
I think Donald Trump is the Ron Jeremy of masculinity politics.
I mean, we're dancing around the fact that Ron Jeremy also had like a 20-inch penis.
That's true. And he was always dark, as pointed out.
Right. We're like we're dancing around that fact, right?
Yeah.
And according to, what's her name? The other porn actress?
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah. According to Stormy Daniels, that is not where Trump is
living. Yeah. No, I mean, by all accounts, right, Donald Trump doesn't have a micro penis, but it's not impressive by any
means. And by the way, shame on her for telling that. But women, if there are any women that are looking at this show,
there are some.
Bad form. Bad form. You don't do that.
I don't care how you're paying.
You don't do that.
No, it's true. I mean, I've had sex with women who I now don't like, but I wouldn't like rat out like, you know, this and that about their physicality. It's not cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Bad form. Bad form.
Or even take sex out of it. Like if you've been friends with someone, but the friendship went tits up, you know, people here might have there might be a recent example in my case. You don't say anything. It's kind of like out of respect for that former friendship, which you appreciated at the time, you zip it, right? It's kind of like, yeah, if I got a call about that, I'd be like, no comment. So,
no comment. Yeah. Stormy, yeah. Put it all out there.
Yeah, you really.
But the Ron Jeremy thing. Maybe you're right. I guess from my point of view, the masculinity thing from Trump just came from him, from his acting. It's kind of like rap music, for example. Black men for the longest time have been called boys, you know, child, infantilized, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like in Django, where when he finally gets a suit, he picks the brightest suit on the planet. And it's like, okay, you're clearly overcompensating. A lot of the rap was overcompensation, this hypermasculinity. But the hypermasculinity was just on very surface and shallow levels. It's like, look at all the quote unquote bitches that I have at my disposal. You know, I have 5 women here, but I can always go and get another one outside on the streets or something like that. Well, look how muscular I am. Look how much money I have. These are very shallow things. And these are very pale representations of what it means to be a man. I guess my point is Trump is very similar in the way that he acts. He could basically do a rap video. Look at the beautiful women that I have. Look at my beautiful daughters. Look at my money. Look at my golden staircase. It's hypermasculinity. It's insecurity masquerading as strength. It's a difference.
It is different. I mean, this is, by the way, where Rudy, I know you're an aficionado, as I am, of Rudy Ray Moore. I mean, Rudy Ray Moore is always like, you know, he's winking at you. He's doughy and like, and not a conventionally attractive man. And he's like, look at all my bitches, look at all my money,
he's right in every film.
But he knows it's funny, right? Like he's using himself as the joke, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is the joke. It's knowing. And then somewhere along the line, these things became literal.
Yeah, but Trump doesn't know it's a joke.
That's the problem. Or maybe that's the key. Maybe that's why it works.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't understand why it works for his fans. You know, I don't get that part. Like, I never understood, like, I really wish there were some Germans who were around under Hitler to tell me, like, but wait a minute, Hitler was, you know, all about the Aryan embodiment of the, you know, the perfect chiseled face, the blonde, yes, blue-eyed Aryan. And look at him! It wasn't that, right? So what? And no one in his hierarchy was either, right? I mean, the best looking one was probably Albert Speer.
Yeah. But I think people, that's just it though. People would follow something. Like, meaning they don't need you to be the icon of whatever that thing is. They just need you to have power and can accomplish the objectives of that thing. It's like Christians, right? It's like, how on earth are you ended up on Donald Trump as Christian faith?
Right.
And it was like, it didn't accomplish our objective
at all. right? Like, yeah. He doesn't even pretend, right? He doesn't even pretend to go to church, right? We don't.
See, I think the issue is you can accomplish my objectives, which is what I need. I don't need you to be a perfect vessel. I need you to be able to accomplish the things that I need you to accomplish.
Yeah, that's what a lot of Christians say, right? Like,
yeah. But I think that's a strong man thing too. He acts strong. He acts tough. Look at how he pushes people around. Look at how he takes and steals and brutalizes.
Not the way Jesus was, you know?
Yeah, but from their point of view, the brutality is the point. For them, they look at that as strong. Not
it is. Yeah, it's tribalism. We want a strong chief. We want someone. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Like, we love the idea as lefties. We love the idea of, like, you know, Amamdani, like, kicking ass and taking names and not only getting elected himself, but like, fuck that, I'm getting other dudes elected too. I'm starting a movement, yeah. And I don't care what you think. We love that.
True. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. All aggression right. In defense of, you know, aggression is not is virtue in case of the right cause, I suppose.
Totally. All right. Well, we have a bunch of comments about this, so we should probably do those, and then we'll get into the news. The news is centers around Iran. There's now coverage in the New York Times and elsewhere indicating that within the administration, there's thoughts that Iran could become a strategic partner of the United States and maybe even replace Israel as America's main ally in the Middle East. Of course, giant earthquakes have struck Venezuela and have buildings have collapsed in Caracas, and at least 150 people have died. That death count's going to go up. Letitia James, of course, she's the attorney general who became famous for prosecuting Trump. She is apparently a sort of DNC corporatist. She's pissed off at Mamdani, and she says, this is a quote, "All of us are a little frustrated with the Democratic Party, but you don't blow it up. That's what MAGA has done." I'm like, yeah, exactly what you do. You blow it up just like MAGA did. It needs to be blown up. All right, so let's do some comments, then we'll get to it. You can choose which topic you want to do first.
I think MAGA was the correct path on that. And you're right, she can fuck off.
Yeah, MAGA is the correct path. And they revitalized the Republican Party. They revitalized the GOP, whether they wanted to be revitalized or not, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're not on the same team.
No, we, exactly. We're not. Okay, Glitch Life. Robbie, I owe you a steak. Come down to Missoula before I head back to West Virginia. Robbie, do you know who that is?
I don't, but let me know when, and I'll tune along down there.
Robbie likes steak. I know that. Okay.
I do.
All right. Thoughts on Luke Bevenor, thoughts on the United States having a sovereign wealth fund like some other countries. I'm generally in favor of it, especially because it's sort of a form of socialism. Mm-hmm. I do think, for example, Chrysler should never have been bailed out without the United States taking a percentage share. I approve of Donald Trump taking a share in companies like AI companies for the American people. If he can, it gives us a seat at the table on the board of directors and all that. I think it's a good idea with the caveat that, of course, obviously, there's a lot of potential for corruption and misuse. And Donald Trump is, you know, exhibit A of that.
Depends on what it's used for. I mean, let's just say I don't have the highest level of trust that this stuff is going to be used for the American public in a way that benefits the public. But yeah, it depends on what it's used for.
That's
one of the issues of corruption.
Skylaski, the kink, the upskirt kink, is there being no consent, it being in public or risky? That
the all three.
Agreed. John D. Cockefeller, fake tits are gross. the exception I would make is, like, let's say you have to, some people have to have them reconstructed after breast cancer.
How you feel, John? Tell me exactly how you feel, John.
I do prefer natural, given a choice, you know.
I've always preferred natural in general. Like, I am not even a big fan of cosmetic surgery.
I don't like makeup.
Yeah.
No. Lipstick, it's like.
Well, it depends on the person for the lipstick, but just be yourself, you know?
Yeah. Be you. Stormborn. I did not expect the show to start out this way today, but that's why I love it. Yeah, me neither. It's my fault, you know. P.W. Walker, Laura Loomer is so much plastic now. There's a label that says, warning, do not expose to open flame. Thanks for the dollar. God, I mean, I just wonder, does she ever get up in the morning? And by the way, Zach says, I'm a Loomer gooner. How, I mean, does someone like that get up in the morning and ever look in the mirror? I mean, I look in the mirror and I'm just like, what the fuck is with that eyebrow hair? I mean,
right.
It was like the gray nose hairs. It was like, what the fuck is, you know, does she look in there like, oh my God, what the fuck did I do?
I don't know. Because, you know, when I see women with, have you ever watched Beverly Hills Housewives?
Yes.
Okay. Some of the women with the plastic surgery, they look so strange. Yes. And it's this look of older women that are trying to look young. And there's a classic look to it when they've had too much plastic surgery.
It's and like you think it's the raised eyebrows.
Yeah, you fucked up. Like, meaning you've gone too far. Like, if you know God was there, God screwed up. It's kind of like that. If you know the plastic surgery was there, you screwed up.
Yeah. They look like in that movie, the Terry Gilliam movie, Brazil. If you remember that.
Oh, I've seen bits and pieces of that. Yeah, I know of it. I don't know if I remember.
Or in the Hunger Games, in the Capitol, the way the ladies look.
Yeah, where they're so over the top, but they've become their own culture and the way that they look at each other and that stuff. I don't know. It looks strange. I know. I agree with you. If I see anything off, I'm like, oh, this eyebrow isn't working right. Or whatever isn't working right.
It's like,
but at that point, they've gone too far.
I would worry about myself. I'd be like, I gotta fix this. Thoughts on midget porn? Midget porn, or I think we would call it little people porn. I have not seen any, so I really can't say that I should not be from. You remember Bob Dole when he ran for president, and he's like dissed all sorts of movies he turned out not to have seen. It's like, I'm not going to be part of the Bob Dole school of film criticism. And if I haven't seen midget porn, don't rule it out, but I have not seen it.
I've never watched.
Yeah, although I guess the closest is Game of Thrones had Peter Dinklage. He's not a midget, though. He's a dwarf.
He was into porn, though.
But you get a lot of full frontal shots of his giant schlong.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, you do. Yeah. I've seen him in person, fully dressed, but he walks like a man who has confidence in that arena.
Fair enough.
Rag 2199. Now that we own Venezuela and receive billions, according to Trump, do we declare Venezuela a disaster area to provide assistance? I had a similar question. Why don't we just talk about the earthquakes in Venezuela? Yes. So that's a developing story. There's the back-to-back earthquakes. The first was 7.2, which would have been a very serious earthquake to begin with. 7.5 came right afterwards. And, you know, just a reminder that the Richter scale is exponential. So 8 is twice as strong as 7. 7 is twice as strong as 6. So the difference between a 7.2 and a 7.5 isn't incremental. It's not 0.3 divided by 7.2. You know what I mean? It's big. You know, buildings have collapsed. Rescue workers are all over the place. The power is out all over the place. The only, I guess, if there's anything positive to be said about this, it's that there was no tsunami and the epicenter was not in Caracas, right? So it was about 200 miles away, but still big enough earthquake to fuck Caracas up. We owe Venezuela. We have fucked them up. We've had economic embargoes for years. We overthrew their government. We kidnapped their president and first lady, who should be returned for, you know, post haste. And we stole their oil by our own government's account, right? We're stealing their biggest natural resource. We owe them. We're not going to do anything, but, you know, we should, like, as they say, make it nice. Money should be no object. We should be throwing billions of dollars in reconstruction at Venezuela.
Ted, we owe a lot of people, if we're being honest. I agree with you. Do we know how many people died? I saw fluctuating numbers.
Right before I went on the air, I saw 138, but you know it's just going to go up.
Yeah, the number's going to go up, especially with people being under the rubble. Also, like, we don't know the material of the, like, for example, when the Philippines had their earthquake, they kept having them back to back to back, and the infrastructure wasn't, I don't want to say up to code, but it wasn't of sufficient status where it could withstand the earthquake itself. And I wonder if something is also true in Venezuela. As you point out, they have been under sanctions for years, and we've done everything in their power, going all the way back to Hugo Chavez, to destroy the state of Venezuela and overthrow the state of Venezuela. And we did it through sanctions, gripping, crushing sanctions in order to create food insecurity and everything else. And then we would turn around and say, hey, by the way, we're going to give you guys food now that we've passed sanctions on you. Okay, don't give us food, just get rid of the sanctions.
Right? Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so no, I agree with you. Everything you said, I agree with you.
So, what about the AI sex robots coming where every nut is a psyop?
I think those are huge, frankly.
I think so too.
Because you have incels. Like you have some people, and it's a problem in a society, in the way that we organize our society. Men who can't necessarily get women. Okay, what happens to those men? It's still a need. They just don't have the sufficient skills in order to copulate.
Yeah, what do we do about the incels, right?
Yeah, what do we do with the incels?
By the way, I'm not saying that all the incels are in, if you know what I mean. They might just be cells. Yeah. You know, like Nick Fuentes, when you listen to him, I don't think he's, you know, I don't think like if he woke up one morning and like a hot girl was sitting on his face, that he'd be happy about it. I think he doesn't want to be around women. He doesn't like them. He's afraid of them. You know, I think that man is like scared of pussy. And so, you know what I mean? Like, but the real incels, like the people who are kind of like ugly but can't get a job replacing Ron Jeremy, what do they do, right? I mean, and then of course, here's the really weird part. Like, if you have AI sex robots, obviously there's no crime if you like rape one, for example, because they're not.
Can you rape a sex robot?
But like, let's say you're aggressive or you're violent with it. Again, it's not alive. But is that an outlet or is that an encouragement and a reinforcement of behavior that could then be carried over to flesh and blood women? I mean, I don't know the answer. These are like profound psychological questions, and I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer to these either. I mean, and this gets complicated real quick. I mean, because at that point, at a certain point, you get to criminality. But is it really criminality if it's associated with AI or robot?
There's no victim unless we change the law to say that, artificial life forms with sentience are sentient and have rights. But we have, you know, the courts ruled that Happy the elephant at the Bronx Zoo, who clearly was sentient, did not have human rights. So,
yeah.
And you can kill your pet for the most part and get away with it. Nothing's going to happen. You know, I mean, it's your property unless someone reports you to animal control. Anyway, maybe Bluth Funk. Hey, you guys talk about us all the time. For those who don't know, she's a she. us being women. Jeremy says Ron Jeremy would make a better president than Trump.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not saying he would. I don't know.
I don't know about his political.
Yeah, I don't know. Right. Maybe Bluth Funk. Also, guys, everyone's favorite Florida man, Nick Fuentes. That's really funny. I did not read this until just now. Said that we're having so many synergies this morning. Said that women are so stupid and that having sex with women is actually gay. That's like that. That's like the
Nick Fuentes.
Like Bart kissed a girl, gay.
I saw him. Did you see when he was having his argument with Candace Owens?
No.
He told her at one point, "You're a woman," or something like that. He said something. It was so funny. It's like an oral. Hey, Candace Owens knew exactly what she was doing in that interview. She was. There's a certain point of realization when she's talking to him, where she is like, "How can I say it?" She is emotionally distant from the interview, if that makes sense. So that is very dangerous for the other person you're interviewing when the other person
she's at cruising altitude, 35,000 feet, right?
Yeah, she's picking your shots. Yeah. And he is basically saying stuff like, "You're just a woman," or something, some shit like that. It was almost like the fact that she was a woman was triggering him, especially in the context of the conversation she was having with him. Like, you know, because he said at one point,
I always wanted to ask him, did your mommy touch you in the dirty place? And I mean, seriously.
I don't know what's going on.
Like, what happened to you? Like, seriously.
He said, he was like, what woman will want to be with me? I'm considered a white nationalist and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I don't know. I
mean, I'm sure there's some trad wife who would sit on his face. I mean, I don't know.
I don't, as you point out, I don't know if he wants that.
I don't think he does. I don't think so. I mean, you know, in that sense, he's kind of like, I mean, he's obviously mentally ill, you know.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean,
if
you are hetero, you're self-identified hetero. Now, he could be closeted. That would not be in any way, shape, or form weird or shocking. But if you're hetero and you hate women, I mean, actually, I'm going to go further than that. If you hate women, you're mentally ill. I mean, like they're half the human race. They're your mom and they're your sister. And they're half the human race, right? It's like, it makes no fucking sense to hate. Like, I mean, men are partly, you know, we have female hormones. I mean, you know, we're all mixed up. It's like, what the fuck? It's like, you can't like declare war against the other sex in your species.
A lot of feminists have done that. A lot of feminists will come out and just say that they hate men. Men are a blight. Men are a problem.
They're mentally ill too.
Same issue.
I think it's just that pendulum. It's that pendulum. It's just it. I'm going to use the R word. It's retarded, and people need to stop doing this. Go get married and get laid. It's good.
Well, I don't know if you need to get married. Definitely get laid. Agree with that.
Hey, listen, getting married is awesome. Being with the same person for a long time, and you know exactly what it is that you'll want. It's awesome.
I've been married.
Me and Kizzy, we're almost at 20 years. We're very lucky. Much been dealing with me.
For you guys. Because it's insane. Let me just say, like, marriage is a car that, like, 50% of the time, it kills you. You know, if there was a model of car that blew up 50% and killed 50% of its owners, like, the people would go to the manufacturer and murder them. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, marriage has, let's put it this way, it is not a very successful product. Let's put it that way.
As I pointed out before, at the point where I got divorced, I felt free.
John D. Cockefeller. I used to work with a blonde guy who had very stark blue eyes. He was kind of a douche, and we called him Hitler's wet dream behind his back. Daniel BTS. Letitia James is such a Zionist clown. She was at the rally with Smotrich a few weeks back.
Wow. Not shocked. I'm pretty sure she's very well paid.
I'm sure that's true. Yeah. PhD Nick Rivera. Venezuela betrayed Maduro. American oil companies are back doing business, and they still got hit with the earthquake machine. Well, yeah, God is like that, I guess. Maybe Fuentes is gay, like a homosexual man. That would be the easy explanation, right?
Well, real quick, he's talking about HAARP.
Hmm?
Do you know what HAARP is? So HAARP is, and this is real, by the way, like, meaning the science is real. I don't know if HAARP is real and what they're doing, but the belief is that they're using something in order to send electromagnetic waves into the atmosphere that has effects in regards to, like, the Earth's mantle in the context of earthquakes.
Mm.
And so the belief was that there were earthquakes in China at one point at the exact same time that HAARP was in activation. Something about the waves or something about the particles that are sitting in the atmosphere that causes some kind of environmental thing that creates earthquakes. That's the belief, anyway. That's the belief.
I think it's more likely that climate change is a contributing factor. This had been predicted as the Earth heats up. I mean, like, you know, if there's no earthquakes on the moon, right? There's no seismic activity because it's too cold.
Right.
But, like, you get seismic heat causes seismic activity. Heat makes things move around, and it causes tectonic motion. You're going to get, as the average temperature of the planet increases, you're going to get more earthquakes. You just will.
Isn't it that the mantle, though, and the core that's doing that? Like, it's not the atmosphere's heat. It's the heat from the magma beneath the crust.
It's both.
Okay, explain that to me.
So you have, there's the heat behind the, you know, in the obviously there's a very high heat in the middle of the Earth, right? in the mantle. And then, but then you have the external heat. So that's constant as far as we know. In fact, it might be slowly dropping in temperature. And then in addition, the heat that's on the surface of the Earth mostly comes from the sun. And that's, you know, that is increasing. Well, I should say the amount coming in from the sun is always the same, but the greenhouse gases are retaining more of it. And that's causing the surface temperature of the Earth to increase. So between the two of them, you have a net aggregate increase.
But that doesn't make any sense because, you know, if you go underground, there's no weather. So say, for example, if you're splunking in a cave, it's a steady temperature. It doesn't matter what the temperature on the surface is.
Oh, I mean, it matters. I mean, it has an effect. Of course it does. It's not like zero.
Yeah, maybe. I just have to research it. I mean, that's interesting. I'm not sure I buy it. That's interesting. I honestly think it has more to do with the mantle than the atmosphere.
But it's what I've read. I don't know. Could be wrong. Okay. Okay. Gensters. Oh, now we're back to guys' view of sexual culture. By the way, how many women are involuntary celibates as well? Yeah. I would imagine many, 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 many. Right?
I know a few. Weirdly enough. But they don't hate men.
That's true. I have not met any involuntarily celibate ladies who they often
involuntary. Oh, I don't know involuntary. Voluntary. No, not involuntary.
Involuntary celibates. I mean, the ones I've known tend to be too picky, you know, like where a man who's in that situation might be like, it's closing time. I've got to like just, you know, make something happen. Ladies are more particular. It's like, you know, if like the guy's gross and smelly, I'm not going to.
Yeah, I'll just wait.
Yeah, I think that's how it is. They have more dignity than we do.
The walk of shame.
Yeah.
The walk of shame is the funniest term in the world, man. The walk of shame.
Let's get into, we can dispose of Mamdani. So Letitia James, basically there's a civil war now inside the Democratic Party over what's been brought back to the surface. Over the victories of these three Democratic socialists in New York City, all endorsed by Mamdani, you know, Trump's calling them communists. Of course it's predictable that Republicans are going to do that and say, like, look, that's the Democratic Party. They're all a bunch of socialists and communists and whatever. I don't know if that's going to land, to be honest. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's like sort of like accusing anti-Zionists of being anti-Semite. It worked great for a long time, but it doesn't work anymore.
Agreed. And by the way, Mike Johnson coming out acting as if the Republic is under threat because, quote, three communists just got elected in New York is nonsense. It's nonsense. And what they're doing is political posturing, right? It's like, I need to come out and make this important speech in order to save the Republic. Shut up. You've been working at the behest of a foreign government. And you've been rubber stamping everything that Trump has effectively been doing, even when it made absolutely zero sense, and especially when it made zero sense. The reality of it is that fight should have taken place when Trump's fight took place. It tried to take place in the Democratic Party, if you notice, this notion of the center falling. Like, people will vote for the center because the center seems sensible up until the point where the center fails. And you saw that taking place with both political parties. With the Republican Party, they didn't have superdelegates, in which case Trump was able to take it. In the Democratic Party, they were able to stop it. Hence, you ended up with Trump as opposed to Hillary Clinton because she was an establishment candidate and an anti-establishment, period. Well, nothing's changed. Like, Donald Trump is still president now. The center has fallen. The wings are the ones that are taking priority. And it's the Democratic Party that is doing everything in their power to prevent that from taking place. My point of view is that's a natural outgrowth of their failure. That's what it's supposed to happen. That's not an anomaly. That's not a bug. That's a feature. But give me your take on that.
I couldn't agree more. The Democratic and Republican mainstream parties were, before 2016, moribund and completely unwilling and unable to respond to the basic needs of the voters. So on the right, finally, what used to be the Tea Party, which used to be Pat Buchananism, which used to be, you know, this sort of Lindbergian isolationist wing of the Republican Party, took over under Donald Trump and became, you know, MAGA. And of course, it's morphed and been corrupted by Israel in the last year and a half. But that's basically what happened. And there, you know, the people, the Mitch McConnells of the world, weren't happy, but they had to let the Trumpies drive the bus or be kicked off the bus entirely, right? That's how that worked. In the Democratic Party, we still, nothing's really changed. There hasn't been a revolution. There hasn't been a reform. The DNC is still corporate run. You know, we saw what happened recently when there was a purge of a few sort of token, like David Hogg kind of progressives. They got rid of them in the DNC. So, you know, you still have the same exact thing where the voters want Bernie, the DNC wants, you know, Gavin Newsom. And so it's, you know, they want someone like Bernie, Bernie-ish. Bernie doesn't want to do it anymore. He's too old. He thinks he's too old. He is too old. And so these, yeah, no, I think that's where we are. The Democrats need to get on board. It's about the wings. I mean, that's where the ideas are generated. That's where the energy is. It's where the young people are. You know, you want to have a future as a big political party. You've got to go that direction. You've got to let it happen. I'm not saying that Democratic Socialists can be elected as Democrats in rural Northwest Arkansas. But maybe they can. The right one probably could be. You know, it's the idea that centrism works. Centrism doesn't work for anybody, and especially in a time of crisis. And we're in it. You know, who could say we're not in a time of crisis? Really?
Yeah, I would argue there is no such thing as a center. It's just what is in political interest, what's required politically in a particular moment. No, I think the reality of it is people need to get, somebody pointed out that, well, I mean, you know, you're a Democrat if you vote for a Democrat. I don't know if that's the way they think about it, though. I think they think about themselves as a brain trust, a body of ideas, a mechanism by which they've decided or figure out how to get into office, how to get money and all of that stuff. And when you get these guys, they feel like, okay, you guys are upsetting the apple cart. But they should be aware that they did the same thing to the New Deal Democrats, meaning third way Democrats, got rid of New Deal Democrats. This is just, I don't know, turning the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Okay, so a couple things. Philip Blair, Robbie, have you ever visited Yellowstone National Park?
National Park.
I have not. Been to Glacier Park a bunch of times. I live just outside of it, but I've not been to Yellowstone. It's just too much of a tourist trap.
Okay, and let's see. Don Steely, combined IQ of these three, about 160. Well, thank you very much. Those are mine, assholes.
Well, you told people to leave a comment. They needed to leave a comment.
I did. Thank you very much.
Well, the problem is that comment's on YouTube, not on Rumble, so it doesn't count.
No, fair enough.
It's Rumble where that happens. So it really kind of makes me wonder if the three retards are able to differentiate between leaving a comment on Rumble and YouTube and follow basic directions. Maybe we're the smart ones,
or just less retarded ones. Maybe. Okay, thank you very much for that. What do you mean, Robbie? God is obviously cooking a pizza at the center of the earth, and Marake says.
Okay. I'm back.
That's for you.
Well, I mean, hell's in the center of the earth. So, I mean, it's supposed to be nice, hot, and cozy down there. And conveniently enough, it is.
Okay. Sir Bikes-a-Lot, thanks for the $2. HARP is real. Iran has reported an increase in rainfall since they destroyed all our bases in the Middle East. For relationship advice, please follow the Dadvocate, Emily Weeking, and Roma Army. Don't know anything about those.
I think I have fantastic relationship advice. And the HARP device, so that is, what's the name of that thing? It is a high frequency active oral research program. Now, they're just saying that it is a basic research tool, but a lot of people believe that it is putting electromagnetic waves into the sky in a way that they found that can augment and affect things like rainfall, earthquakes, and those type of things. Is it true? I don't know.
I'm going to check into it. Manchild 5000, while solar heat and temperature fluctuations are not the main drivers of earthquakes, they can modulate the timing of seismic events on faults that are already near their stress threshold.
Fair enough.
Okay, Cosmo, Robbie 115, Ted 135, Jamal 125. I guess LMAO, they're all above average, but EQ is very important to all. And we have 12 intelligences, spatial art talking, etc. For the record, and I'm not going to say what it is, I have had my IQ tested. So I do know what mine is. Yeah.
I have never had one.
I've never had one. I've had Myers-Briggs, which was super interesting to me.
Myers-Briggs is super interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people are asking, when are we going to do my personality test?
Yes, Myers-Briggs.
Yeah, I guess we should do a new one. I haven't done one in a while.
Humble bonus show.
Yeah, I think I INTJ or something, or ENTJ.
I'm INTJ.
Something like that.
The mastermind.
I think I'm INTJ also. I did a few things, though. Like, my Myers-Briggs lines up very well with my chart, my astrological chart, which is just weird and fascinating. The Myers-Briggs thing is fascinating. To get this kind of sense of, I don't know. It's an interesting test. It's an interesting test.
It is a parlor game, but it's a parlor game that works very well for me anyway. Yeah. We'll do this online. Yeah, we got to talk about you. So I know, I think I know what you're going to say, but we got to do it anyway. So,
go for it.
So now that, you know, we're kicking Israel to the curb, hopefully, the U.S. needs a new bestie in the Middle East. And, Iran was that bestie until 1979. We forget that, right? And that's part of the reason that we're so butthurt about the Islamic Revolution. We lost our good defense ally. You know, we lost the good torture allies in Savak. All that stuff went away, and we've been bereft ever since. But now we have a chance to get the put the band back together. We're not getting along so well. We ran off with the little short girl in the blue and white dress. Now, we can get back with Big Mama in Iran. And, Big Mama has oil, something that, Israel doesn't have. It's much bigger. It's maybe not quite as technologically advanced, but it could be in half a second, given its size and its location and everything. That is the direction I would go if I were a U.S. policymaker, just for pure geopolitical strategy reasons. Fuck Israel. What do they do for us? Nothing. So,
we tried the same thing with Russia and China, where we've been waging a war with Russia. We tried an economic war against China. And then the U.S. was like, yeah, I think we're going to try to work with the Russians to go after the Chinese. It's like, okay, but you've been bombing them and attacking them and basically trying to do everything in your power to create a strategic defeat. How do you immediately turn around and pretend like you're going to work with these guys when they know that ultimately you're just working with them in order to go after another player? I guess my thing is, we've murdered Soleimani, we've murdered the Ayatollah and the people that were around him. We've killed thousands of people opening up with murdering a bunch of children. How do you turn around and make friends with these people after that?
Well, that's the funny part, right? Like, in the thought process that's being reported inside the right wing and inside the administration, Trump and all his cronies, they respect the abuse, that the fact that Iran took a licking and kept on ticking. They love that. They're like, look, we tried to kick their ass. We're the biggest superpower. It didn't work. We killed a bunch of their people. We fucked them up, and yet they still won. Look at them. We got to respect. We've got to get with these people now.
I guess the issue is not from the U.S. point of view. It's from the Iranian point of view.
Yeah, no, exactly. And
it's imperial hubris to think that you can make friends with somebody after all of the ghastly, disgusting things that you've done to them over the years. I don't I don't even know if I've had a story, if I'm being bloody honest with you. If they are thinking that, they are out of their mind, that they're more whacked out than what I actually thought they were. From the standpoint of the liberal Iranians that are in the Iranian team, I mean, you already have protests in Iran and people who are effectively showing some level of discontent that the supreme leader himself didn't necessarily agree with, let's say, signing on to this particular document. So there is opposition in Iran to the memorandum of understanding, especially since the first premise of that memorandum is being flagrantly ignored. So I don't doubt that it's possible that an imperial power has the level of hubris necessary to completely overlook everything that they've done to somebody. I mean, imagine me cheating on my girlfriend remorselessly, beating her, hitting her, and then turning around and saying, you know what? I had a come to Jesus moment. You took a beating pretty well. Maybe I do want to be with you.
I love.
It's not about me at that point, right? Like the level of narcissism necessary to look at the situation of an abused spouse and turn around and say, you know what? I think I really do want to be with you. It's not about you.
And the other thing is, right? Like in this particular case, to follow your analogy, this is a girlfriend who survived all that and now is starting to think, you know what? I could do better. Yeah. I'm in a good place. Look at me. I fucking survived all this abuse. Like, hey, I can date a better looking, smarter, richer dude. Bye. Yeah. Iran's going to have more suitors. You know, they can cozy up with anyone they want now. It doesn't have to be the United States. I mean, there could be, I mean, the question for Iran is, are there real politique reasons to climb into bed with the United States? I mean, the problem with dealing with the U.S. is it changes regimes every 4 to 8 years. And even internally, you don't know what the policy is going to be from one day to the next. It's really hard to make a deal with us. And we're liars. We're really untrustworthy. I mean, we sneak attack you during peace negotiations. So, I mean, it's, even if you just are like, okay, we'll let the schoolgirls go, how do you do business with us? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that. Like, I just don't. We are untrustworthy actor, and we've been trying to destroy the state of Iran for decades. And the idea that we can turn on a dime and be like, hey, let's be buds. Why would I do that as a Iran?
That's the billion-dollar question, right? I mean, no question.
I mean, you get liberals who are in office, so who the hell knows what they do?
Let's nail down those. We're doing well on timing today. I'm really proud of us today. All right, Ratsnap. Myers-Briggs is inaccurate and horrible. By the way, there are many better options. Well, Ratsnap, no one's stopping you from putting them in the live chat. I'd love to hear about them, for real. okay, God, I love that. People are like, there are many better options. If only there are a way to suggest them to us. Okay. Seriously, I'm all ears. Phrasmatas, question for Ted. Technically, what's a client state? They buy arms. Correct. Receive intelligence. Correct. Technically, the Islamic Republic of Iran remained a U.S. client state by way of Israel until 1991, Iran-Contra. That's true. We continued to supply them. And we used to sell them through third parties. We'd sell them replacement parts for their old F-111s and all that stuff. So that's true. Okay. John D. Cockefeller, Ratsnap, I'd not be surprised to hear that. Same as with most IQ tests. I tested quite high and I am dumb as fuck. I always thought that when I went to Columbia, I was like, this is an Ivy League school. And so many of my fellow students are stupid as shit. What does that say about me? You know, it's like that's scary.
I played chess, so it was a little bit different. Like, it was kind of like, my mom used to be like, he's beating all of these white men, as if this was some kind of, like, as if they were some kind of special entity, right? They were just people. Yeah. And like the ability and the skill set, it's just, you know, some people were better at things than others. It didn't have anything to do with race or anything else. No,
yeah, I guess my think anyone stupid is good at chess. I'm going to put that. I'm just going to say that.
You'd be surprised. I mean, what is the doctor that was working with Trump? He wrote the book Gifted Hands. If you listen to him, Glenn Carson.
Oh, Ben Carson.
Ben Carson was a fucking idiot. But He was fantastic at medicine, meaning in a technical pursuit, he was great. I don't doubt his skill as a doctor.
Yeah, no, wasn't he a brain surgeon?
Yeah, he's a brain surgeon. But as a political entity?
Well, brain surgery, I mean, that's different, right? Isn't that like more of a craft than a...
It is. It's a technical thing.
Right.
That's what I mean. Like, people could be very technically precise and sufficient.
Ben Carson... Yet,
you get them out of that and just ask them questions.
There were times, and I swear to God this is true, when I was suffering from insomnia, that I went on YouTube and found a Ben Carson speech. he had the sleepiest voice. I mean, if you don't believe me, oh my God, go back.
No, I believe you.
So
I used to use Billy Myers contact notes. I don't know if you know what those are. So Billy Myers was, Swedish or something? And in the old days, he had taken all of these photographs of these UFOs. And people were like, okay, is that real? Like, I mean, clear photos. And there was always this huge fight in the UFO community about whether they were real or not. I didn't really care whether they were real. The contact notes were so soothing and relaxing. It's just, you just listen and tell me, that was enough.
I had a girlfriend who said that I was so boring talking about politics that she would like, come and tell me about the news so she could fall asleep.
Are you serious? Oh, that's funny.
Fortunately for me, she dumped me. P.W. Walker, thanks for the dollar. Jimmy Carter had Khomeini flown in from Paris to be a counterweight to socialists in Iran. That's true. I remember that. As well as a promise to secure American economic interests. Some of Khomeini's followers had other ideas. Also, the United States supplied information to the Islamists inside the revolutionaries to try to purge, to get them to purge and kill the socialists and communists who were a big part of the Islamic revolution in 1979. That we also did the same thing with Saddam, right? We gave Saddam lists of commies to kill. We're beautiful. We're great. Really nice. Anyway, thanks everyone for watching. We'll be back tomorrow at 9 o'clock Eastern time in the morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. TMI show with Manila and I coming up right now in an hour. Stay tuned. We'll get into that weird sex scandal in the world of cartooning on the DMZ America podcast with myself and Scott Stantis. Take care and see you later.
Have a good one, guys.